Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, the first half of that verse. This is the reading of God's word. But may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant all of us an ear to hear your word. As we hear your word, cause our faith to grow, and let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And through your word, Father, that we will be able to see what your Son has done and what he has accomplished for us. And let us have fellowship with you as we hear your word. We pray that your word will be preached correctly and all of us will hear it, understand it, believe it, and obey it to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is going to be a topical sermon, and what we want to look at together is what is the message of the cross? What does cross tell us? Well, it will take more than the time we have to truly look at this topic, but we'll do our best. As we all know, our Lord Jesus Christ is dying on the cross. He was dying on the cross for our sins. He is dying the death that we deserve to die. He is dying in our places. He is dying on that cross instead of us. He is paying for our sins, the penalty of our sins. He is being sacrificed to our God as the perfect sacrifice. And by dying, he is appeasing the wrath of our God. Through his death, we are reconciled to God. As you know, we were his enemies. But now in Christ, we have been reconciled to our God. He has redeemed us by paying the price. By paying the price, he has brought freedom to us. The freedom from sin, from this world and Satan. Cross tells us so many things. But what does cross tell the world? Or let me put it this way. What does the world get from looking at the cross? So before we look at the message of the cross to us, let us see how the world sees the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And verse 22 and 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. The cross is a stumbling block and foolishness to the world, if you preach it correctly. You know, so many Christians, they try their hard to preach the gospel in a way that is attractive to this world. But Bible is very clear, it is a stumbling block and it is foolishness. No matter how attractive you want to make it, if you are preaching the truth, then it's foolishness to them. It is a stumbling block. This sinful world wants signs and wisdom. Our verse, not our verse, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 says. Signs and wisdom, this is what the world wants. Signs. It points to something special in this world. You know, those Pharisees, they came to Jesus and always said to him, "Show us the sign." What do they mean? Well, they were waiting for the worldly Messiah who will come and establish worldly kingdom. So they're asking Jesus to show them that he is that worldly Messiah that they were waiting for and establish worldly kingdom for them. Jesus rebuked this world, saying, this sinful generation, they want signs. The only sign that I could give them is the cross. So signs, something special in this world, being successful and important. People who want these things, the cross is a stumbling block, Bible says. Why? Because if we want success in this world, what does the cross speak of? Sufferings and death. So it becomes stumbling block. It's something that they would avoid. Something they don't want. So many religious people, they want this world. To them, it's a stumbling block. Do you remember from last week? When Jesus began to tell his disciples that he would get captured and he would suffer and he would die, and Peter rebuked him, saying, "No, this will not happen to you." Why? Peter had the same understanding of the Messiah at that time. Later, he knows the truth, but at that time, he was waiting for the worldly Messiah, who will come and establish worldly kingdom so that they could rule the world. But Jesus says, "No, I'm going to be captured, I'm going to be suffering, and then I will die." He said, "No, this will never happen to you." It's a stumbling block for him. And Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan. Because you are, Peter, stumbling block to me," he says. "For you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but men's." They want success, wealth, and health. But the cross speaks of sufferings. It is a stumbling block to them. And what else does the world want? They want wisdom. And we already looked at this in Colossians. The knowledge of the world, the wisdom of the world, the philosophies, the principles, science. To these people, the cross is foolishness. Because it says, God became a man. You know how funny that sounds? Why would God ever become a man? No religion in this world will say things like that. Only Christianity. God becomes a man. And that God-man dies. God dying. You know how ridiculous that sounds? Why would God ever die? But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block and foolishness. So don't think that when you preach or when you share the gospel that the world will just welcome it. Actually, they will hate it. Unless God's Spirit is working in them. Oh, then they will receive it. But it's foolishness and it's a stumbling block. They will never welcome it. And there are all these seminars, you know, on how to evangelize. And their whole focus is how to make this message attractive to this world. What are they doing? God already told us that it's a stumbling block and it's a foolishness, and here we are trying to make attractive? How could we ever make the gospel attractive to the world? How? Because we're telling them that if they don't believe in Christ, they will go to hell forever. How are you going to make attractive? It's foolishness. Stumbling block. And we should never forget that. Our job is to tell them the truth. With love, of course. But more likely than not, they will persecute you because of what you tell them. But what does the cross tell us? That's our focus today. And we're going to talk about many things. And each one of them, I was so tempted to take each one of them and make it into one sermon, but that's going to take us like 2 months. So I didn't do that. But it has so much messages, and it's a joyous messages to us. But first, it tells us that sin is a horrible and vicious thing. Look at the cross. Look at Jesus dying on the cross. It shows that your sin and mine is a horrible and vicious thing. We must take sin seriously. We cannot take lightly the sins we commit in our lives, as if it is nothing. If you truly understand the message of the cross, you will never take sin lightly. How serious this problem of sin is. To solve it, God himself had to die. Nothing else could solve this problem of sin. That God himself had to die. And I have to admit, my inability to convey this understanding here. How serious our sin is. And yet, when we see how we live out there, it's clear that we don't take it that seriously. Even though our sins kill God, and yet we still don't take it seriously. We just sin, as if it's nothing. Even though God had to die himself because of this sin. Do we really understand how serious our sin is? When you look at the cross and you understand what is happening on it, you will know how serious it is. We truly deserve to die forever. Sinners, even looking at the cross, would not admit this. Secondly, it clearly shows us that we cannot save ourselves by our works. If we are able to do good works and be saved by those good works, then by those works we will be saved. If that is true, then why is our Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross? There is none righteousness, none righteous, not even one. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 23, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Again, the sinners, even as looking at the cross, even as they look at the cross, they boast about their own good works. Their pride and their boasting do not allow them to admit how sinful they are. Can you picture this? Can you see how utterly absurd and ridiculous to boast about oneself in the front of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? What is Jesus doing on the cross? And right in front of it, you boast about your good works? Boast about how good you are? Then if you're so good, what is he doing up there? It is so ridiculous. There is no boasting in Christianity. Absolutely none. Oh, but boasting, it fills the churches. They talk about how God has blessed them because of what they did. They did this and they did that, and that's why God is blessing them. And they do this in front of the cross. The only thing we did on our own is sin against God. That's the only thing. Even the most holy thing that you think you have done is still sin apart from Christ. You know, your repentance, how you cry so much and you say, oh, I repent, I will not. That was not even perfect. You sinned again. Only thing we are able to do on our own is to sin. The cross clearly shows us that we deserve what kind of death we deserve if God judges us by our works. He's dying because of us, because of me. The cross, it clearly shows the holiness of our God. God is righteous and just. He must judge sin. No, there are so many wrong understanding of who God is. They think God is so loving that He would just forgive your sins. He cannot do that. Only reason your sins are forgiven by Him is because God judged your sins in Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, He cannot just forgive you because He's righteous and He's just God. When you look at the cross, you know how much He hates sin. He hates it. That's the message. When you look at the cross, we see how He just cannot compromise with sin. He had to kill His own Son because He cannot compromise with sin. Oh, brothers and sisters, we truly need to understand how serious sin is. The sins that you and I commit as if it's nothing every single day. But the cross also shows us clearly God's love toward us, His people. Look at the cross. In loving us, how far does He go? In loving us, what He would not do? That's the question that the cross answers. He gives His life to us. He saves us even if it means to die for us. And cross asks you this question. How about you? In loving Him, how far would you go? Cross demands answer from you. In loving Him, what would you not do? What is your limit? What would say, oh yeah, I could do for Him up to that, but after that, no, I will not do that for Him. The cross demands answer from you to this question. In loving Him, how far would you go? He loves you and me. And let's truly understand His love for us. He's not loving some people who deserve his love. You and I, contrary to what you might believe, are not lovable. We were his enemies. We betrayed him. We rejected him. We rebelled against him. And he is dying for the sinner. He is dying for ugly, wicked, evil people. This is not a valuable or worthy death according to the world. You know, in the world, if somebody dies for other people, they will praise it. But think about this. If somebody dies for an ugly, wicked, evil person, what would the world say? Jesus' death is not something that the world can value. Because he is not dying for an important person. He's not dying for somebody who is worthy. He's dying for wicked, evil person, people who deserve to die forever in hell. I don't think we truly understand these things because we're so full of it. Man, we think we're just. What do you really think you deserve? And what kind of evil person you think you are? Are you pretty good? That's the problem. Because we do think we're pretty good. That we're better than some other people. That's the problem. Because we don't know the truth. Oh, brothers and sisters, his death. He's dying for a wicked person, me. Evil people, you and I. Thus, we also see from the cross the grace of our God, the mercy of our God, the goodness. I don't think we truly understand the depth of his grace. Because we're just full of ourselves that somehow we just don't get it. I want all of us to go home and really think about this thing. Do not just understand in terms of how the world understands. And now, we talked about him being just and righteous, so he must punish sin. He must punish sinners. But at the same time, we know how much he loves us. Thus, we dare say that God has a problem. Because he is righteous and just, he must punish us. But at the same time, he loves us and he wants to save us. How could he do this? If he punishes us, then he will send us to hell, then there's no salvation. If he saves us, then what about our sins? So how can he solve this problem? The answer is the cross. The cross is the answer. Because through cross, he was able to punish our sins. And at the same time, he was able to save us. Thus, the cross shows the wisdom of our God. No man can come up with this solution. It's God's solution. And that's the cross. So on the cross, Psalm says, peace and his righteousness kissed each other. Yes, God judged your sins in Jesus Christ. At the same time, he saved you, made you his son. Thus, the cross shows us the wisdom of our God. The way of God's salvation is not something that man can come up with. For one thing, the sinner will never admit that they deserve to die forever in hell, that God himself had to die for their sins. On the cross, we see the righteousness of our God and peace with God kissing one another. And it also shows, the cross shows, that we also have died with Christ. And I said this many times, so we move on. But I wonder if you truly believe this. That I have died. You know, the world can say this. They could say, yeah, I died. You know that young Kim that you used to know, he died. And I'm a new person. What do they mean? That somehow my bad habits here and there, I cut, able to get rid of, and I became a little better person. Are you understanding it this way? This is not what Bible is saying. So it becomes a good word. World has many, many good sayings. So every verse of the Bible becomes good sayings to some people. No. You actually died. And you need to really ask yourself, do I believe this? Or am I just taking as how world might take it? That somehow, because I became a Christian, I'm now improved person. That's not what Bible is saying. That you actually died. And you will see what it truly means when you go to heaven. And in heaven, when you see yourself, you go, oh, I get it. That's what it means. Whoa, I actually died. And I resurrected to a new self. Until you go to heaven and see it with your own eyes, you have to believe. But I hope that you could believe the way that the Bible tells you, not what world might understand. Because that is not what Bible is saying. It also, the cross tells us that we have died to this world. Meaning we have no relationship whatsoever with this world. And again, when you go to heaven, you will see in heaven how you have nothing to do with this world anymore forever. You will see it. But until you see it with your own eyes, you need to believe that you are dead to this world and the world is dead to you. Not a good saying, but reality. Reality. And again, I cannot show this reality But I believe. You know, this world lives in the spirit of 666. Six is the number of men. That's when man was created. And this world wants to stay at six. They don't want to go to seven, which is the rest, pointing to eternal rest, heaven. So like Trinity, six is emphasized three times. 666. What does it mean? It's man-centered and this world-centered. That's what 666 is. But you and I, we are seven. Emphasized three times. Because we are heaven-centered and God-centered. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 3, 1 to 3 tells us that we too, before salvation, formerly walk according to the course of this world, and we too all formerly live in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. But it says that Christ tells us that we are dead to all that. That Christ shows us our heavenly reality. There are two kinds of people in this world. The citizen of this world and the citizen of heaven. The citizens of this world are from this world and they belong to this world and this world listens to them. But you are dead to all that. And it is your reality. Oh, please don't take God's word as some good sayings. It's the truth. This tells us who you are and how you are forever and ever. What happened to you? And through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the true victory is witnessed. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15b, NIV says, triumphing over them by the cross. Satan thought that by killing Jesus on the cross, he has won. But it was actually God killing death on the cross. When you are victorious over your enemy, you kill your enemy. And that is exactly what is happening on the cross. Even as Jesus dying on the cross, what is it really happening is that God is killing death. So death is conquered. And he is victorious. Thus, the death cannot reign over us anymore. Death cannot kill us anymore. Even though we die, we live forever. True victory. God killing death on the cross. But I want you to understand how the true victory is expressed in this world. It is expressed in a way that the world will never acknowledge that as victory. They will not see victory in the cross. They will see defeat in the cross. And through the cross, and I have to end this because time's up. Through the cross, we see that sin and this world will be completely judged by our God. This sinful world will be judged. That's what the cross tells us. The wrath that God poured out to his son. The punishment of hell, eternal punishment of hell that God poured out to his son. That same wrath and that same judgment God will pour out to this world when he returns. The cross shows us what will happen to the world when he returns. The sinful world will be completely destroyed. Oh, brothers and sisters, there is so much message in the cross. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is our glory and our boast. Look at the cross. Many amazing things have happened in our Lord. Amazing things have happened as our Lord dies on the cross. See, when you listen to people who are boasting in this world, what are they boasting about? They're boasting about who they are and what made them that kind of person. That's exactly what we boast. Who we are in Christ and what Christ has done to make me that way. Look at the cross. So many amazing things are happening on the cross as Jesus dies on it. You know, look at it. Sin has ended. This world has ended. The death has ended. The judgment has ended. Look at the cross. The eternal life has begun. Peace with God has begun. The sweet, joyous fellowship with God has begun. Eternal heaven has begun. Jesus accomplished all on the cross. And the result of the cross is seen in the Lord's Supper. How we are able to come to God and have fellowship with God, seated at His table, eating and drinking with God. That's what is happening. Because of Christ, this is now our reality. He doesn't condemn you anymore. Oh yeah, He knows you sinned. But He already condemned your sins, you in Christ, when He condemned Christ. Yeah. He has no more anger left in Him for you. He has no more wrath left in Him for you, because He poured all that on Christ. So only thing that He has for you is His love, His compassion, His mercy and grace, desiring to have fellowship with you. This is what the Lord's Supper shows us. God who forsook His own Son on the cross welcomes you to His presence. While He forsook His own Son because He wants to welcome you to Himself forever. Rejoice. And as you come to His table, boast. The cross. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Oh, we are so blessed. And we are so content and satisfied. And we love You, God. Jesus Christ has shown us, proved to us, how much You love us. Now, Father, let us prove to You how much we love You by living that obedient life in Jesus Christ. The holy life that You have brought to us in Christ. Oh, Father, we glory in the cross,
The cross is our glory. Because Jesus Christ is our glory.
We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.